It's the Way of the Master Radio pre-show mail call delivery bag, Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza, featuring your emails, letters, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Have you checked your email this morning?
Incoming message.
I think he wants to communicate.
There is a message for you.
I want to get online. I need a computer.
Now, here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
If and you don't mind, I'd kind of like to revisit a question we had yesterday here on the Way of the Master Radio pre-show show. This fellow, apparently a pastor, called 1-877-282-BEEP. You can too. Don't need to be a pastor. 1-877-282-BEEP.
You're good at pointing the finger at pastors and exhorting us on the show, so let's hear some solutions, man. Give us some details. What are your expectations for a pastor's work week? I'd love to hear it.
Hey, for pastor, just, you know, man, I'm on your side. I'm not exhorting. The only time that I exhort good pastors is just to stay faithful and keep preaching Jesus. When we scold, which is different than exhorting, it's for the crummy pastors. Now, so, sir, I'm all on your side, man. I love local pastors. You're the foundation. Well, Jesus is, but you know what I mean? For the church, the local church is where it's at. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back and just spend a little more time. I understand that it is difficult for the pastor to be devoted to doing nothing but studying the Word so he can preach a whiz-banger on Sunday and to teach well throughout the course of the week. And then to have deacons and elders in place to handle all of the other things, including things like counseling. And maybe, immediately, initially, it can't be at that level. But I got to tell you, I think that's what you should be gunning for, preacher. You are the theologian in residence. Why are you involved in all of these meetings about Vacation Bible School? And what are we going to do about the crowding for Sunday morning with the kids in the classes? And do we have enough cookies coming in? You should not be involved in those things. Let other people handle those things. And you, sir, do the preaching and the learning and the teaching. That's what you're there for. So find a way to barricade your door. Board of Elders, let him study. Don't let him make phone calls. Don't let the phone calls in. Pull out his email. Get him in the Word, because that's where we need you. And let other people do the other stuff. So, sir, I'm all on your side. But please keep your focus where we need you.
What are the sons of God referring to in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2?
Debate. It's a debate. Could they have been kind of angelic beasts? Not good angels, but bad demons, angels that impregnated women? Some people believe that. I don't. I think that they were really bad people, but I don't think that they were, because I don't see that, even though it would appear, it's true that good angels can take on the form of human beings. I'm trying to think, can a demon? Don't know. I'll have to ponder that one. But a good angel can take on the form of a human being, but impregnate a woman? I just think that they were just bad, really, really bad.
Where does making God the Lord of your life come into repent and trust?
Well, it's evangelical lingo that we've got. That's one of our cliches, make God the Lord of your life. I'm not nuts about it. I understand what it means. It basically means that we should be in a place where we surrender to God, where He is the leader, the ruler, the king, everything in our life. We recognize we are nothing and He is everything. I think that kind of falls underneath repentance. But it's evangelical cliche, and what I don't like about it is, first of all, I don't see it as actually being in the Bible. That should be enough. But second of all, we can't make God anything. First of all, He is the Lord of our lives. We're just living in rebellion, and what we must do is repent and put our trust in Jesus. So I understand the intention, but I think we should lose it because the hearer might be confused.
I read my Bible every day, but I don't have faith. I know the Bible says faith comes by hearing by the Word. I don't understand it. How do I get faith?
How do you get faith? God grants it to you when you call out to Him. You repent, you apologize for your sins, and then you say, God, I am trusting You for everything. You're my everything. You transfer your faith, if you will, from yourself to God. So repent and put your trust in Him, and sir, you'll know it. Let's start the show.
We'll be right back.
The Way of the Master Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Don't stop believing.
They're saying that I have no talent, which I know I do.
Random people I don't know told me that I can really sing.
Everybody around here has been saying that I'm good.
Okay. The better I feel about myself, the worse I do. In fact, teachers are seeing that students who feel really, really good about themselves have little or no interest in learning anything or improving in any way. Guys, the answer is not in self-esteem. It doesn't work. But more importantly, it's contrary to the biblical view of man.
It's time for The Way of the Master Radio with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, and Todd Friel.
Hooda thunk, hooda thunk, hooda thunk. Barack Obama, the politician who said there should be a separation of church and state, entering into the theological realm and twisting the scripture. This is Way of the Master Radio. Little squabble out there. If you are a Focus on the Familyite, you listen to James Dobson, you know that he's been all over Barack Obama, who's been making all kinds of biblical, well, they're not even biblical allusions, he's just flat out quoting the Bible, and doing a lovely job of, he's strawmanning, he is misinterpreting, Tony! If you would be so kind, in your Rolodex, pull up Barack Obama's address. Let's get him a copy of Herman Who, which is available at wayofthemasterradio.com.
Got it.
Barack, well, you know, you could say this. At least he's not completely shameless like we are.
Politics depends on our ability to persuade each other of common aims based on a common reality.
Well, not really. Let's just stop right there. No, it's not. Hold on.
Politics depends on our ability to persuade each other of common aims based on a common reality.
You've been watching Oprah. Apparently, they've been hanging out together. First of all, in order to persuade, you have to have a different reality, if you will. So just stop right there with your little premise.
It involves compromise, the art of what's possible.
Okay, then I'll tell you what, Barack. You got my vote. Change your position on the life issue. Mm-hmm. Come on. What did we used to call this something? We didn't call it that. We didn't call it the stammer syndrome. It's the disingenuous dialogue. That's what it is. So disingenuous. You see, we're willing to come together if you simply change your position.
At some fundamental level, religion doesn't allow for compromise.
Yes, sir. You are correct. And so, but here's the premise. The premise is, wrong again, that politics is about the art of compromise. Well, that can be an element to it, but that isn't the foundation of politics. It's a system so that you can debate the ideas and people can decide, and whoever has the best idea wins. So, faulty premise, building on a faulty premise, then you've got a bad principle. Religion, therefore, goes against the foundation, the erroneous foundation, that we must have compromise in politics. Therefore, we can't use religion. You see how bad logic goes?
It's the art of the impossible. If God's spoken, then followers are expected to live up to God's edicts, regardless of the consequences. Now, to base one's own life on such uncompromising commitments may be sublime, but to base our policy making on such commitments would be a dangerous thing. And
you know, like, for instance, that religious principle of murdering. How dare you bring that religious principle? Oh, wait, we do. Oh, the plagiarize, or the lying under oath. What is that one called? That's lying.
Perjury.
Perjury, that's it. I knew it began with a P. Well, that based on that Ninth Commandment idea. You can't bring that. Oh, wait, already did. Sir, we do it all the time.
You doubt that. Let me just give you an example. We all know the story of Abraham and Isaac.
I just want you to know, if you haven't taken your Lipitor today, and you are in danger of having a heart attack, seriously, just time to... Who's Sean Hannity on right now? Anything would be better than what you're about to hear done to the scriptures.
But it's fair to say that if any of us leaving this church saw Abraham on the roof of a building raising his knife, we would, at the very least, call the police and expect the Department of Children and Family Services to take Isaac away from Abraham.
That's funny, but in a sense, it's kind of a straw man. It's a lack of information. So I guess it would be a straw man, by strict definition. Here's the story. No details. Abraham didn't kill Isaac. It is one of the single most powerful examples of foreshadowing, of types and shadows in the Old Testament. This is an absolute beauty. This is God saying to Abraham, go to Mount Moriah. Now, we don't know this for sure, but many people believe that Mount Moriah is located in Jerusalem. Specifically, many believe, not certain on this one, but many believe that it is the hill on which Jesus Christ was crucified. Abraham, take your only beloved son and sacrifice him. Daddy, where's the lamb? Abraham, son, God will provide the lamb. Abraham is held back from sacrificing his only son. You talk about a foreshadowing of another sacrifice to come, especially when God provides a ram, not a lamb, a ram, not a lamb. Why? As if to sustain the tension. There's going to be a lamb sacrifice, but this isn't it. This is just a ram. The lamb is coming. That's the story. That's why it's in the Bible. It's a type and shadow written 1,500 years before Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, came. And he turns it into a yuck story. Shameless. And speaking of shameless, I'll be talking about those types and shadows at the Deeper Conference. October 17th and 18th. You can find out more if you go to deeperconference.com. I love the Old Testament. Foreshadowing Jesus. Pointing toward Jesus. If you're Jewish and you're listening, your Bible on your left-hand side is absolutely loaded with it. I get to talk about that with other people I shouldn't even be in the same room. People like Ken Ham, Paul Washer, John Hunt. We've also got, what are their names?
Marshall.
No, not. I remember Marshall Foster. Emile Zwayne got that.
The boys?
Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron.
The boys.
There's the ones that I was thinking of. They also will be there. By the way, we're almost at the end of June, and I can say that with a great deal of confidence, and the reason is I'm really watching the dates this year, because I am not going to miss my wife's birthday for anything.
When's your wife's birthday?
I think we're 2 days away. Oh. I love she wants to be saying.
But she's a June baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I don't want history to repeat itself. I just forgot what day it was. Uh-huh. I didn't forget the birth date.
I understand that
I was
that
like
exactly.
Chicago.
You bet.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Yeah.
So I think based on that song along, you know, that's really just about as good as Barack Obama's presentation of the story of Abraham.
Would do so because we don't hear what Abraham hears. True as those experiences may be. And so the best we can do is act in accordance with those things that we all see and that we all hear.
So here's what he's disingenuously saying. You see, we can't agree on theology. No, we can't do that. So we just need to move forward on the things that we can agree on. Barack, I'm in, sir. Become pro-life. Love ya, babe. Love ya. I mean, there's about a bazillion other reasons that I'm not nuts about the guy, but that's the big one. Don't give me this. We just need to move forward on it. Don't give it to me. How dare you mangle scripture to make the case that you should be voted for because we need to just agree and put our principles behind us. Shame on you. Not to mention, are we not to the point yet where we recognize that we do bring our religion into the marketplace? Come on with the disingenuous dialogue.
I may be opposed to abortion for religious reasons.
Huh. you may be opposed to abortion for religious reasons. So now you've got yourself a dilemma. So he's apparently a three kingdom sort of guy, maybe. I've got the abortion realm where I bring my religion into it. I've got the abortion realm where I bring my attitude toward women, apparently, into it. And which one wins for Barack?
To take one example, but if I seek to pass a law banning the practice, I can't simply point to the teachings of my church or evoke God's will.
Sure you could. Well, you could. And then you could also explain why. And that's okay. Now, people might not like you. That would be the chance you'd have to take. But don't say that. And most politicians don't. I'm not sure that I blame them. Maybe, maybe not. But don't say that that's not doable.
I have to explain why abortion violates some principle that is accessible to people of all faiths, including those with no faith at all.
So, really? All right, well, sir, if you're looking for some reasons then to share with people why you are against abortion, apparently in one realm, but not in the other, I mean, how can you claim that it's a moral issue and then vote it? What can trump that in your brain and allow you to sleep at night? Oh, I know what it is. Hypocrisy. John Lott, the big picture behind abortion. Maybe we could send a copy off to Mr. Obama from Fox News. Ever since Roe v. Wade, do you realize abortions have shot up? Remember the promise of Roe v. Wade, only when the woman's life is in danger. That was always, by the way, the case in America. Always the case. I don't like the phrasing of it. I think it should always be we do everything we can to save the mother and the baby, and if the baby's life is lost in the rescuing of the woman, it is unfortunate and tragic. But that principle was always there. But even so, we know that we've been duped into it, and abortions have skyrocketed. Ridiculous. And there's been other things that have changed since Roe v. Wade. From 1972 to 1977, the abortion rate doubled. Doubled per live birth in the 5 years from 72 to 77. Other changes? A sharp increase in premarital sex, a sharp rise in out-of-wedlock births, a drop in the number of children placed for adoption, a decline in marriages that occur after the woman is pregnant. Come on. Come on. It's a mess out there, sir. And I heard, I want to make sure that I get this right. I think that it was, hold on a second. Hey, David?
You. Yeah.
Who was the preacher who was saying about Barack Obama knowing, and we all know this, that the number of black women who get abortions compared to, statistically, ratio-wise, and yet this guy is all for abortion, number 100% with NARAL, knowing that his demographic, his ethnic group, is the number one target. Do you remember what preacher said then?
Yes, I do. He's been on Fox. I just can't remember his name right now. It's like Peterson's or...
Somebody,
I'll find it.
Yeah, I think I got it here too, dude. All right. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Was it Childress? New Jersey Pastor Childress? No, that wasn't it. Yeah, maybe it was the Peterson guy. I do. See you. Goodbye. Do you realize that that's the case? That more black women are aborting their babies? Hmm? Barack Obama? How's about that for a reason? But wait. Which one of these is going to be more offensive? Let's try this one.
We are no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, and a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers.
Uh-huh. That's why you need to go back and take a look and see the founding principles of this here country were based on Judeo-Christian values. Period. Really, I should just say Christian values, because most of the men were Christians. Statistically, Brandon House just wrote an article on this. It's at ChristianWorldviewNetwork.com. Taking a look at the quotes of the founding fathers over a period of 5 years. Were they deists? Did they quote deist Thomas Paine literature? Did they quote the French philosophers? No, they didn't. Overwhelmingly, the quotes of the founding fathers were from the Bible. John Adams made it clear. The founding principles of this country based on Christianity. But wait! The scripture twisting isn't done.
Which passages of scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay?
You know, to be so cheeky, sir, really gets up my nose.
Eating shellfish is an abomination?
You know, get to the third grade of Christianity, sir. Don't use scripture like that. I'm offended. Those are Old Testament laws. They are not to be followed because there's a New Testament law. It's the law of love, and it is the covenant of grace. You should know that, going to church for 20 years.
Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith. Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own defense department would survive its application?
Well, that's a nice shot at the Defense Department and a mangling of the Beatitudes, the peacemakers, the mourners over their sin. It's a spiritual thing, sir, not a kingdom on earth interpretation. Come on. This is baby level theology. Oh, killing them.
So before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
Okay. I think we should. Oh, no wonder why James Dobson is torqued about this. Sir, if you're going to bring the scriptures into the debate, if you're going to start using theology, mangled as it might be, if you're going to invoke religion or fight against it, well, sir, all righty then. That's fine with us. But let's remember, sir, don't play it both ways and start saying, well, it's a separation of church and state. Well, it's just not something we talked about. You talk about it. So do we, and we get to make decisions based on what comes out of your mouth, sir. That was just a trip through. Let's go to the other sphere. We'll take a trip to heaven next on Way of the Master Radio.
If you've seen the wonderful potential of the Way of the Master teaching and you want to convince others of what it can do for them, we have the answer for you. It's the one-day evangelism crash course, and it's been designed to do just that in a way that's proven to work. It contains three eye-opening DVDs that will convince of the truth of biblical evangelism. This results in a deep compassion that swallows fear and equips to be effective in everyday life. The crash course, available through wayofthemasterradio.com.
Come with me now, won't you, as we visit the internet together. I'm at evangelismteam.com. They've got a little section that says tracts, how to use them, how to get them, the harvest, be a laborer, how to do street preaching, how to pass out tracts, how to watch videos, how to answer Bible questions. Tons of resources, videos, and tracts. These people love to reach the lost. And if you do too, or even if you don't, visit evangelismteam.com. We love these guys. They support the radio station. They've got tons of goods. Visit them at evangelismteam.com.
What do you mean I'm not an expert?
Sir Isaac Newton, the father of modern science, said, "This most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being."
In the future, I'll make sure that all those people being interviewed provide you with a multimedia laser show to keep your interest maintained.
This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
Can't do it. Can't take the trip to heaven. Not now. Need a breather. This is Way of the Master Radio. Just too much nonsense. I've got this vein on the right side of my forehead, and it starts to grow. Like what was that movie where the aliens got inside of you and it made your skin get a body
Alien?
Snatchers? Was that Alien? I guess that would be a good name for it. That's what I got right up there on the right side of my head. Started with wretched today, I don't mind telling you. Oh, good. Got to tell you something. Tomorrow night, if you get a chance to watch Wretched on FamilyNet, very good episode. Tomorrow night, excellent.
What about tonight?
Bad. Very frankly, I saw that one too. Not good. Not good. Not tonight, but tomorrow, if you get a chance to watch, that one's good. Tonight, not so good. Tomorrow night, very good. But it got me. And then the Barack Obama thing, and don't be cheeky, sir. That tone thing, like we heard yesterday with George Carlin. Painting a straw man with the tone. Like, you know, you people who believe in evolution. Hear how that works? I didn't say anything factual or non-factual, but my tone. You know, which one of the Bible stories should we use? Who should we follow, James Dobson or Al Sharpton? Should we follow the King James or the ESV? Don't do that, sir. Don't do that. You're not speaking my language as you're supposed to. This is Way of the Master Radio. Let's instead have just a wee little bit of good news, shall we? You're, of course, familiar with the Todd Bentley revival that's happening down in Lakeland, Florida.
Thought you said good news.
No, this is good. That's bad news. It's completely bad news. And if you get a chance, go to wayofthemasterradio.com and watch the video. My kids thought it was a joke. They, you know, kicking people in the face, knocking their teeth out of their head. What did he say? Leg dropping the pastor.
Leg drop the pastor, yeah.
Apparently, Todd Bentley's a big wrestling fan. I wouldn't have known that. Go to wayofthemasterradio.com and see it for yourself. The good news is we have in our hot little hands, okay, singular, my hand, from the general superintendent of the AOG, which would be the Assembly of God, sent out a letter regarding the revival in Lakeland. And while, sir, I wish you would have gone further and just taken a stand on the issue, even so, I think it was good that he sent out, I thought, a pretty decent biblical perspective on the Lakeland revival, basically breaking it down into four admonitions. Whenever you see something like this, one, is Jesus exalted? Bingo. Or is Todd Bentley exalted? And number two, is the word preached? Answer, hardly. Three, is there repentance? There can't be at this thing. There's no preaching about the cross, about the law, about repentance and faith. I mean, once again, a drive-by repentance and repent for your sins. And if you want a healing, and if you want your marriage better, and say I'm sorry. That's not preaching the gospel fully. And Scripture. Scripture is the test, not signs and wonders. So well done, sir, from the Assembly of God. There's another interesting perspective from a fellow named Andrew Strong.